Hold on while we just get this technology going. Okay, I think we are there. So good to be together, so good to have everyone. Thank you for joining. As we are on this path towards growth, we have begun the count called Sviras HaOmer, and we're on a 49-step journey. We're climbing a ladder, one step, one rung at a time. And it's much easier to climb when you're together. You know, there are studies that show that when you are at the base of a mountain with a very steep incline, if you're alone, the steepness, the angle, looks insurmountable. But the more companionship, the more that you are together, the more that you're with people, the more strength, the more courage, the more energy that you have in order to be able to climb, the more that you can persevere, the more that you can peak. So I want to thank you for being with me tonight as we climb this mountain, this ladder of 49 steps, one rung at a time. I had hoped to have the source sheets in front of you. Unfortunately, I don't, but I will post them online afterwards for those who want to be able to see. I want to share with you a few insights of Rabbi Soloveitchik. We've just observed his 27th Yahrzeit, and his loss continues to be felt by the world of his students and the influence that he had enormously. And he loved to offer insights into the area of Sviras HaOmer, our topic in particular. I want to draw from his insights and really expand on it together. By analyzing this mitzvah, Sviras HaOmer, the obligation, the responsibility, the commandment to count the Omer, the days between Pesach and Shavuos, but not only address it from a technical perspective, from a halachic or legal perspective, but to extrapolate and extract some of the deeper lessons for ourselves as well. The Baal HaMor of Zrachya HaLevi, one of the medieval commentaries, lived in the 12th century. The Zrachya HaLevi asked the following question in his Baal HaMor, his commentary found in very tiny font in the back of the Gemara. Ask the Baal HaMor, B'Sviras HaOmer Yesh HaShoa L'matam Ein Anu Omrim Bozman? Why don't we recite a bracha of Shechianu on the mitzvah to count Sviras HaOmer? It's a very compelling question. I shake the lulav for the first time, I make a Shechianu. I recite Kiddush, I light candles on Yantif, I make a Shechianu. I blow the shofar, I read the Megillah, I recite a Shechianu. When we do a mitzvah that we haven't done for a full season, and we return to that mitzvah, and so we're grateful to be alive, we're grateful to be in a position to have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, we introduce it with the recitation of Shechianu. God, thank you for bringing me to this point. Thank you for being alive. You know, maybe during this pandemic, during this crisis, we appreciate more than in recent times. People who were perfectly healthy one moment, just a short time later, could be in a health crisis. Tragically, too many. And it's hit home for many of us who've lost family members who were healthy one moment and gone almost the next. And therefore, we never take for granted the privilege and the blessing to once again experience the major milestone. And among them is the Simcha Shel Mitzvah, the joy of the opportunity to be able to be present in shul, to sit at our table, to be able to introduce a mitzvah, Shechianu, v'kimanu v'higyanu lazman hazeh, who you've kept us alive, you've sustained us, you've brought us in good health to this day. Nothing to minimize. So we say that Shechianu before we do other mitzvahs. Ask the Baal HaMor, ask Rav Zrachya HaLevi, where is the Shechianu to introduce Sviras HaOmer? The second night of Pesach, normally in shul, this year all of us at home, some at the end of Maariv, some in the Seder, we counted the beginning of the Omer. Tonight is one night of the Omer. We made a bracha on the mitzvah to count the Omer, but we didn't make a Shechianu, and he wonders, why not? V'od matam ein anu omrim, ein anu sofrim b'lo bracha b'yantav sheini shal Pesach. Moreover, he wonders, we who live in the diaspora, who observe two of everything out of a doubt of what day it might be, why don't we count every night? Tonight is night 16, maybe night 15. Tonight is 25, maybe 24. Why don't we hedge? Why aren't we concerned for the suffix Sveika Deyoma, the question of what night it really is? Just like when it comes to sukkahs. The Gemara concludes one should sit in the sukkah, sorry to offend any chassidim among us, but to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, but not to make the bracha, why we hedge? In case it's really sukkahs, we're in the sukkah. In case it's really Shmini Atzeres, we omit the bracha. We hedge when it comes to observing other mitzvos. Where's our hedge when it comes to Sviras HaOmer, wonders Rav Zrachya HaLevi. And moreover, so those are his two primary questions. And his answer, he says the following. You know why we don't say a Shechianu? And you don't know, you want to know why we don't hedge to recite two? Says Rav Zrachya HaLevi the Baal HaMor, Although we count days and weeks, it's only out of tradition. And therefore, we can't require the recitation of Shehecheyanu. Sefiras Omer is not something that gives us a benefit. It's solely for the purpose of evoking emotional sorrow for the destruction of the temple. The truth is, the Omer represents a korban, a sacrifice, the korban ha-Omer that was offered in the Beis HaMikdash that launched this count. When we do the count today, we're not doing it to perform a Torah mitzvah. We are simply commemorating, we are reenacting, we are remembering nostalgically when there was the Beis HaMikdash, when we were able to gather in the shadow, in the shade of Hashem, when we felt His intense providence and presence in our life. We long for that day. We miss that day. We yearn to be together. So the counting of the Omer is not a happy thing. When it comes to the mitzvahs that we introduce to Shehecheyanu, we're so excited, we're joyous, we're grateful. But Sefiras Omer is not anything we're grateful for. Sefiras Omer, in fact, we're saddened by the absence of a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, says the Baal HaMor, we don't recite the Shehecheyanu. Shehecheyanu reflects a joy, an excitement, a happiness, a privilege, a blessing. Our Sefiras Omer is only nostalgic. It's only commemorative. Tosfos explains in Megillah Daf Chaf, and that's why we do something after our count of Sefiras Omer that we don't do when it comes to other mitzvos. I don't shake the lulav and then say, Yehi Ratzon Sheyibana Beis HaMikdash. Hashem, may you build the Beis HaMikdash. I don't hear the Megillah and then say, Yehi Ratzon. I don't sit in the sukkah, say, Yehi Ratzon. When it comes to other mitzvahs, I don't follow it up with a request, Yehi Ratzon Sheyibana, God, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But Tosfos says, when it comes to this mitzvah, when it comes to the other mitzvahs, there is the performance, the fulfillment of a modern, present-day, real-time mitzvah. But when it comes to Sefira, it's purely commemorative. It's purely nostalgic. It is purely an expression of our longing to be able to return to a time that we have a Beis HaMikdash. And so the first opinion about why we don't make a Shehecheyanu and Sefiras Omer the Baal HaMor is because in fact our Sefira is not a joyous counting. Rather, it is a harsh and painful reminder, not about what we have, but about what's missing, our longing for a Beis HaMikdash. The problem is that all works if you hold that Sefiras Omer today is the Rabbanan, it's rabbinic in nature. The problem is that the Rambam Maimonides in Hilchos Tumidim and Musaf and Perek Zayin, chapter 7, Halacha Chav Beis, Halacha 22, the Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Lispor Sheva Shabbos Tumimos Miyom Havas Omer Shenemar Sfarat Malachem Mimachar Shabbos Sheva Tumimos. We have a biblical commandment to count Sefiras HaOmer today. The Rambam does not tie our daily count to the offering of the sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. And so the Rambam says our count today is not purely nostalgic. It too is the fulfillment of a real mitzvah in real time. We're doing something real. So where for the Rambam is the Shehecheyanu? Why aren't we celebrating? Why aren't we joyous? Why aren't we happy to be alive? Why aren't we happy to be in this moment? The Shiboli Aleket, Rav Tzidkiyo ben Avram, the 13th century, one of the Rishonim, the Shlach HaKadosh, the great Kabbalist, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz, a great Halachist as well, in the 16th, early 17th century, both give the same answer. They said, we did recite a Shehecheyanu. So you'll look at me funny, at least on Zoom, where you could look back, and you'll say, we recited a Shehecheyanu. I don't remember that. I understand it was after four cups of wine. I was a little tipsy. I was a little tired. But I don't remember saying a Shehecheyanu before counting the Omer. Where was my Shehecheyanu? The answer is, say they both, Ein mevarchen zman al asviru mishum shasviru mishum tzorch yontuf v'samchinan an zman haregel. The Shehecheyanu we said on Pesach applies to Sefiras HaOmer. We said Shehecheyanu when we lit candles. We said Shehecheyanu when we made Kiddush. We greeted this holiday with joy and excitement and a feeling of gratitude for being alive. And not only did we greet the holiday, we greeted its components, including the mitzvah to count the Omer. So say the Shiboli Aleket HaRishon, says the Shlach HaKadosh. We covered the responsibility to count, to say Shehecheyanu. We said it. When? When a connection, in connection to the holiday of Pesach. Answer number two. Answer number three. Answer number three is connected to an insight of the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch is an anonymous author written as a letter to his son. The Sefer HaChinuch, its author in the 13th century, would write a weekly letter to his son acknowledging and counting, enumerating all the mitzvahs contained in that week's parsha and explaining the details, the reason, the beauty, the root of the mitzvah. It's a critically important work, the Sefer HaChinuch, so beautiful, even though its authorship is debated, perhaps even anonymous. So in this mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, the following. Mishorshei HaMitzvah, the root of the mitzvah, Atzad HaPshat, the simple understanding of what this mitzvah is all about, is that the foundation of the Jewish people is the Torah. You see, liberated and being freed from Egypt, what we've been celebrating on this holiday until this point is significant. We were in servitude, we were oppressed, we were persecuted. It was an attempted genocide against our people. And simply not only surviving, but God's love to take us out in the miraculous, providential fashion He did. The love He showered upon us as He escorted us in the desert is all significant. And it's worthy of our gratitude and it's worthy of our celebration, but it doesn't end there. You see, a Jew celebrates Pesach, but doesn't make it to Shavuos, has missed the entire point of Pesach. Pesach is almost universal among the Jewish people. I saw someone pointed out that perhaps this year there were the most seders across the world in all of history. Because normal people gather together, we consolidate by being in groups. And this year we were so separate and apart, perhaps more homes hosted individual seders than ever before in all of history. Doesn't matter what denomination, what segment, what level of affiliation. Almost all of the Jewish people relate to, identify, celebrate Pesach. And yet, way too many of our brothers and sisters, if you mention the holiday of Shavuos, they say, what? What holiday? Never heard of it. When is it? Why is it? Where is it? What is that really all about? In fact, I once had to renew my passport, and I was running late. I didn't have time to mail away. I made an appointment, and I came to the passport agency. And they told me when I'd have to come back to fulfill my appointment to get my passport. And I looked at the calendar and I saw that the date they had given me was Shavuos. So I told the person, the clerk who was helping me, it's a Jewish holiday, I'm so sorry, I appreciate all your effort, but I can't come then. Is there a different day? I said, there's no Jewish holiday on that date. I never heard of such a thing. Hold on. And she came back to me and she said, I have a Jewish coworker. And I said, that date, is that a Jewish holiday? Shavuot, Shavuos. And my Jewish coworker said, never heard of it, no such thing. Challenged me, there was in fact no such holiday. Tragically, too many people don't know it. But Pesach without Shavuos is Nishkan Pesach, is not a Pesach. The whole reason He took us out, the reason He liberated us, the reason He forged us into a people and a nation, a covenantal community, was to charge us with a sacred Torah and a sacred task. It's not just about being another secular political entity. It's not just having some physical freedom from a bondage. It's about having a mission and a purpose. It's about being on a journey towards repairing God's world. We are only here because of His goodness to us. And He has a plan, a mission for every one of us individually. And He has a purpose and a mission for all of us collectively. Pesach is the first step on a journey that takes us to Shavuos. And says the Sefer HaChinuch, that's why, when it comes to other things that you're excited about, please God, b'mehera v'yameinu, soon in our time, we will merit for a big announcement when we will all go free from the prison of our homes, of course, that we choose to be in electively to protect us. But please God, a date will be set when we can return to normal. And you know what all of us are going to do? We're going to mark that date and count down towards it. 12 days, 11 days, 10 days, 30 days, 29 days, whatever that date is. Normally when you're excited, school's going to end, your vacation's coming up, the holiday you look forward to, you count down, and yet Sfira Somer is the opposite. We don't start 49, 48, 47. We go 1, 2, 3, 4. Why are we counting up? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, it's because of this reason. It's not that we got out of Egypt, that was the peak, that was the culmination, and everything is downhill. But it's the opposite. We're counting up towards the reason we got out. We're counting up because we're counting greater, we're elevating, we're enriching, we're becoming better, we are improving. Counting down reflects relief and release and reprieve. Counting up reflects excitement, building, growth, elevating, enriching. We're not counting down, we're not relieved, we're counting up, we're taking on more onto ourselves. And said Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's recorded in Hari Kedem, Chelik Aleph Siman Kuv Zayin. He says the following to answer this question. He quotes the Rambam, Sfiras Omer's Darais, it's biblical today. So we should be excited to say a Shechianu. Where's our Shechianu? He references the Sefer HaChinuch, and based on it, he explains the following. He says, you know why there's no Shechianu? Because the purpose of Sfira is to be in a period of growth. If you ever did a high intensity training, you ever do a a workout, whether it's spin or some other class, which is HIIT, H-I-I-T, high intensity. The whole theory of high intensity is you push yourself for bursts, and then you have where you quiet, calm down, then you have recovery time. Push, 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 recovery. And if you look at our Jewish calendar, I once wrote an article about this, and actually the one who invented Orange Theory and these high-intensity workouts, Jewish woman, saw the article. I got wonderful feedback on it. The Jewish calendar is exactly this cycle of high-intensity spiritual workouts. Push, 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 grow, 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 recovery, recovery. It doesn't mean in recovery you can't grow, and it doesn't mean in recovery we go backwards. But we're not pushing, pushing, pushing. Our spiritual heartbeat is not elevated at that same level. Sfira Saomer is a high-intensity workout. Push, 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 push. You got it. It's a high resistance. It's a quick cadence. It's a high-level output. We're pushing, pushing, pushing. 49 days. We're climbing that ladder. We're growing. We're marking. We're celebrating. We're being able to track and train to be able to see our progress and our growth. In Sfira, which is a time of growth and progress, we're not done. We're not finished. You see, Shechianu, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, is a bracha you say on the moment. Shaking the lulav is a mitzvah. Moment. I began, I completed, all in a moment. Hearing the Megillah, sitting in the sukkah, listening to the shofar. It's a mitzvah for a moment. I make the Shechianu, God, thank you, I'm alive, I'm vibrant, I'm well, I'm enthusiastic to do this mitzvah. I'm done. But Sfira Saomer, how could I say a Shechianu as if like that? I made the bracha, I did the mitzvah, genug shein, shlof gesund, I'm going to bed. I have 49 days of a high-intensity spiritual workout. I'm growing. I'm improving. I'm working on my concentration and davening. I'm being careful what comes in my mouth, what goes out of my mouth. I'm improving my interpersonal relationships. I'm tracking my sense of patience. I'm making sure I have no envy. I'm practicing greater modesty and humility. 49 days, high spiritual intensity, challenging myself to complete areas of Torah study. I'm working, 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 learning, learning, learning. Shechianu is on something that reflects an act, a moment. Sfira represents a process. I can't say a Shechianu on something which is a process. Rabbi Ganak, Shlita, a great student of Rabbi Soloveitchik, takes the lesson of his Rebbe and applies it so beautifully to another area of our lives. He quotes the Shach, Rabbi Shabsai Cohen Rappaport in Yerodeah, Simon Chav Ches, who asks, why don't we say a Shechianu when we get married? Person stands under the chuppah. They're about to enter a union, please God, that will last the rest of their lives. According to some, it's a mitzvah, big machlokas, Rambam, Rush. Is it a mitzvah, a hechsher mitzvah? Are you just preparing for the mitzvah of continuity, having children? Is marriage in itself a mitzvah? But according to the opinion, it in itself is a mitzvah, even if it's just a hechsher mitzvah, introduction of a mitzvah. Where's the Shechianu? We make a bracha. The rabbi, the officiating rabbi who makes that bracha, is doing so on behalf of the groom. It's the groom's birchas ha-mitzvah, the bracha for doing the mitzvah of getting married. So if there's a bracha for getting married, where is the Shechianu on getting married as well? In fact, I spoke about this under my daughter's chuppah and offered a different answer. But I want to share with you Rabbi Ganak's answer. He quotes Rav Shlomo Eger, the Gilyan Maharsha, that Kiddushin itself is only a Hechsher mitzvah. It's only the introduction. That's why there's no Shechianu. That works according to the Rush, but according to the Rambam, that it's a mitzvah, where's the bracha? The Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein, offers a technical answer. You can't say a Shechianu at the time of Kiddushin because the process is not complete until Nisuin. A Jewish wedding is made up of two parts. We have Erusin, Kiddushin, and Nisuin. It's unclear what the Nisuin is. Is it being under the chuppah? Is it the recitation of Sheva Brachas? Is it being in seclusion in the Yichud room? But because it's a two-step process, you can't say a Shechianu on the first step because the process is yet incomplete. But according to Rabbi Soloveitchik's approach, says Rabbi Ganak, you could offer a different answer. You know why there's no Shechianu on getting married? Because it is a lifelong endeavor. It's more than 49 days. It is for the length of that marriage. It is a journey of coming close, of improving, of selfless, of compromise, of giving, of devotion, of connection, of attachment. You make a Shechianu on something that is for a moment, but on something that is a process and that will last. You don't make the Shechianu to introduce it. This period of 49 days, like the period of our marriage, this period of 49 days as we are preparing for our marriage with Hashem, to stand under that chuppah called Har Sinai, to enter that union called Matan Torah at Shavuos, this 49-day journey that we are challenging ourselves with this high-intensity workout, knowing that after Shavuos, we have a recovery period and recovery time, not to regress, but to rest. But for 49 days, we don't rest. We push, push, push. And we are being tested right now. We're being tested in our homes, in the confines, and being on top of one another. Our patience is being tested. Can we persevere and endure? Can we be more patient than ever? Our envy of what others have or what their situation might be. Can we be happy with our lot? How are we using our time? Even though we're not in shul, is our davening suffering? Has our davening improved? Even though we're not in person learning, has our Torah study regressed? Or have I actually become even better? You know, the Kli Yakar points out in Vayikra, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Dalet, the Kli Yakar points out that angels, malachim, are called omdim. It's a pasuk in Zechariah. Malachim, angels, they stand still. But human beings, humankind, we are mehalchim. We are on a journey. We're walking. Halacha, the system of Jewish law, halacha, as we walk, as we travel, it guides us. It escorts us on our journey. Angels have arrived. They stand still. But we are imperfect. We are on a journey of self-improvement. And we are on a high-intensity part of that journey. The whole workout, you're not at rest, but you have periods of recovery and periods of high intensity, and these 49 days are a period of high intensity. We're pushing ourselves to improve, to grow, to be better. We're tracking ourselves, because you know the great management gurus taught us that what gets measured gets managed. If you don't measure it, you won't manage it. And therefore, measure. Did you lose your cool? Did you raise your voice? How many days can you go without complaining? How much Torah study have you accomplished, whether in quantity or quality? What kind of davening did you have? How is your character, your personality? These are 49 days of spiritual intensity within the greater workout called life, because we're not omdim. We don't stand still. We're not complacent. We haven't arrived. We're not apathetic. We're not indifferent. We are mahalchim. We are on a journey. We are always traveling. Point number one. Point number two. The Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, quoted by Tosos and Menachos Daf Samach Vav, has an opinion. We all know if you miss a night of counting, you're out for the count. You're done. If you miss a night, you can't continue. Nebuch on the people, there was no shul this year, and many Haggadahs forget to include the count. So at Nebuch, I heard the people that were out the first night. Nebuch. If you miss a night, you're out for the count. And the question they ask on the Bahag is why? The notion that if you miss a night, you're out for the count highly suggests that what? Sviras HaOmer is one big mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that lasts for 49 days, but it's one mitzvah. The problem with that is, if that's the case, why do you make a bracha every night? Al Sviras HaOmer. Make one bracha at the beginning and make it all the way to the end. Get to Shavuos and you're there. One bracha all the way. When I sit in the sukkah, I don't make a new bracha to sit in the sukkah for every bite I take. I make one bracha at the beginning of the meal and it carries me for that entire period I'm sitting in the sukkah. So make one bracha at the beginning of the 49-day count and make it till Shavuos. Why are we making 49 separate brachas? If you make 49 brachas, maybe it's 49 separate mitzvahs. If it's 49 separate mitzvahs, why if I miss one, can't I continue? I missed one mitzvah. I should be allowed to continue with the next. That is the question that is asked on the Bahag, on the Baal Halachas Gedolos. So Rabbi Soloveitchik offers a beautiful insight. And maybe we'll mention this, we're sending out a video tomorrow, a Yizkor Drasha, to carry us all into the second days and prepare us for Yizkor. Haven't decided yet, maybe built on this theme. Rabbi Soloveitchik says the following. Really, every night is a separate mitzvah. There's not one mitzvah of 49 parts, there are 49 separate independent mitzvahs. So why, if I miss a night, am I out? For a very simple reason. Because counting, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, implies a context. Counting demands a continuum. Counting is predicated on what came before, and it anticipates and predicts what's going to come after. If I say tonight is night 20, it's meaningless if it's not built on 1 through 19, and if it doesn't set the stage for 21 and on. To simply declare out of nowhere tonight is night 20 doesn't mean anything. To count demands a continuum. To count demands a process. To count demands a time awareness where past, present, and future come into one. So really every night is its own mitzvah, says Rabbi Soloveitchik. And that's why I make a bracha every night. So why if I miss a night am I out? Because even though every night is its own mitzvah, I have to understand what that count means. A count suggests what comes before. Account suggests what comes after. It has to be in a context. This is very meaningful for life and our whole notion of time awareness. You know, there is no present. By the time you say the word present, that became the past. All there really is the past and the future. The past and the future inform our present, how richly we live it, how present we are, how mindful we are, how conscientious and conscious we are in our present. But our present is informed and inspired by our past and by what we hope for, long for, and want to mold and shape in our future. For Jews, our time awareness blends these three dimensions simultaneously, past, present, and future. To count the present means to know the past and to anticipate and to look forward to the future. As I said, maybe we'll elaborate more on that with the Yizkor Drasha tomorrow. But I want to share with you an halachic analysis based on this very fascinating that Rabbi Soloveitchik and his Talmud Mori Verabi, Rav Shechter Shlita, expands upon. Several nafka minas, practical differences, how you understand this opinion of the Bahag. Is it one mitzvah of 49 parts or 49 separate mitzvos? One nafka mina is, what happens, wonders the Minchas Chinuch, Yev Yosef Babad in the 19th century, what happens if a boy becomes a bar mitzvah during the period of Svira? If a girl becomes a bas mitzvah, a bat mitzvah, during the period of Svira. On the one hand, if it were a new mitzvah out of nowhere, too bad they missed the beginning, they were a minor, they were ineligible to fulfill it fully, but whatever night they turned of age, bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, they should be able to now count and join those who are counting. However, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that would be true if you see it truly as an independent mitzvah. But what if it needs to be on a continuum? So Rabbi Soloveitchik says the following. He says, even if you see it all as one big mitzvah of 40 parts, perhaps the bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah boy should be able to join the count. Why? Because we said what's critically important is to know what comes before and what comes after. Yes, the bar or bat mitzvah, what they counted as a minor, didn't count fully towards the fulfillment of a complete mitzvah, but it was enough to create continuity. It was enough to create a continuum. So if it's night 20 when they turn of age, nights 1 through 19, they weren't yet fully eligible, but nevertheless counting, articulating 1 through 19 was enough to create continuum. Maybe it wasn't enough to create a mitzvah, but it was enough to create a context and a continuum. So when they said night 20, they now were able to join the count already in process. A fascinating suggestion, a nafka mina, a practical difference based on this understanding of continuum. A second nafka mina, a second practical difference. This quoted by the Note de Yehuda, Rav Yechezkel Lander. He says, what happens to somebody, Rachman Letzlan, they lose a loved one during the period of Svira? The halacha is that if a person loses a loved one in the period between death and burial, they have the status of aninus, of being an onin. An onin is not only exempt, they are forbidden from fulfilling mitzvos. They don't make a bracha, they don't daven, they don't put on tefillin. The onin has to wash before eating. They should hear Havdalah, but they can't recite it. An onin is not only dismissed from mitzvos, they are forbidden from fulfilling them. And Rashi, Tosfos, and Moed Katan explain, because God in that moment knows that he's taken someone so precious, irreplaceable, he doesn't expect you to draw close to him in that moment. He wants all your thoughts and efforts to be instead focused on the one that you love, so much so that he takes a step back, a back seat, and God says, not only are you exempt, you are forbidden. So what happens? An onein, someone who loses a loved one, God forbid, in the period between death and burial, when they are forbidden from fulfilling mitzvos, and therefore they may miss a night, a day, 2 days of Sfira. Are they out for the count? Are they out for the count? So if you understand that if you miss a night, you're out, you're done, because really it's a one mitzvah of 40 parts, if you miss, you're out, then you'd be in trouble. But based on Rabbi Soloveitchik's analysis, Rav Shechter suggests an answer to the Note of Yehuda. Maybe the onin can't fulfill the mitzvah to count, but they can nevertheless articulate what number night it is in the count, enough to sustain the count, so that when they complete their aninus, they could pick up where they left off and continue with the mitzvah again. You can't fulfill the mitzvah while you're an onin, but maybe by mentioning the night, you can continue the count enough so that you can continue to build upon it. And so, Rabbi Soloveitchik sees Svira Sa'omer as a halachic expression of a Jewish philosophical idea and value, that our notion of time awareness is through continuity, it's through continuum. Too many people want to see themselves as having arrived, I'm independent. The old, the past is archaic, arcane, it's irrelevant, it's antiquated, it's the future that represents. Others live entirely in the past. Perhaps they're fearful their future won't be so rich, won't be so vibrant. And so they just are nostalgic for the past. But if only you live in the past, or if all you do is look forward to the future, you are missing what it means to be a Jew. The time awareness, the continuum of going from past, present, and future, of being informed and inspired by our past, to live fully in our present, to mold and shape our future. And this notion of this combination, the synergy of the three dimensions we live in simultaneously, is expressed through this mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. And thirdly and lastly, I want to share another insight of Sfiras Omer that I hope can inspire and inform ourselves in this time as we are on this journey, this count, this high spiritual intensity workout. We'll have time to recover. We'll slow it down. But 49 days, push, 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 push. We've got this. The best of ourselves. To bring out who we can be. To get a glimpse of the best that we can live. The Gemara Menachos Daf Samech Amud Beis tells us, Usfartem lachem shetei svir lachol echad ve'echad. That usfartem lachem. The verse says, one should count, usfartem, you should count lachem for you. From which the Gemara derives a law, L'chol sfira l'chol echad ve'echad, account for each and every one. The Magen Avraham wonders, can you fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer shomea ka'one? Can you hear someone else count? And you'll say, ditto. Amen. I'm with them. Think about it. Many homes on Friday night, one person recites Kiddush and everyone else says, ditto. Amen. I'm with them. We listen to the Chazan, and we fulfill with the Chazan's recitation. So many areas of our life, we listen to another Shomea, we listen, and we attribute it Kone, as if we've answered, as if we've articulated or expressed. Do we apply the principle Shomea Kone to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? Can you sit back and listen to someone else count and say, good to go, riding their coattails, ditto, I am with them. This is the question of the Magen Avraham, Rav Avraham Gambiner, in the 17th century. And he says, Em yirtza shomea habracha me'ashliach tzibur, v'sofer la'atzmo, t'chol habrachos afa b'shu baki yotze b'shliach tzibur, chutz mi krishmo tfila, akoponim tzorach sheyispor ba'atzmo. The Magen Avraham distinguishes between the bracha, the blessing, and the actual count. When it comes to the blessing, you can listen to the Chazan, answer Amen, you've covered the blessing. But when it comes to the count, you have to count for yourself. Why? Because it says, Svartem lachem shtei svir l'chol echad ve'echad. You should count, account for each and every one of you. Each of us have to count for ourselves. So the bracha, I can answer, I can listen. But the actual count, to enumerate, to count what night it is, I have to articulate that count myself, says the Magen Avraham. The Bir Halacha of the Chavetz Chaim expands on this and says, in fact, it's a machlokas rishonim, it's a debate among the medieval commentaries, it's not clear. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, here's why it shouldn't work. It doesn't work because we only say Shomea Ka'una on a mitzvah which is speech, a mitzvah which demands that I articulate. But a mitzvah which is counting, counting is not something I do externally or superficially. I can't say I hear, therefore it's as if I counted. I have to do it myself. Counting demands each person actually doing it themselves. So when the Gemara said, Svir l'chol echad ve'echad, each one has to count, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to count out loud, but it means you have to count. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out that Rabbi Kiva Eger so much so says, that maybe one can fulfill the mitzvah of Svir. Are you ready for this? What if you go on Twitter or Facebook, you post on social media or your family WhatsApp group, and in that WhatsApp group or posting online, you say what night of Sfiras HaOmer is. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, maybe you have fulfilled the mitzvah to count the Omer. Because this is not a mitzvah that has to be articulated out loud. It's a mitzvah to count. Who says counting is only out loud? Counting can be done in writing, perhaps, Rabbi Kiva Eger says. So based on that Rabbi Kiva Eger, that you can count in writing, not out loud, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, Shomea Ka'ona, listening is like answering, only applies to something you say, not something you do. Counting is something you do, and that's why we don't apply Shomea Ka'ona. But I want to offer a different suggestion. You know why we don't apply Shomea Ka'ona? Could you imagine I go to the gym? Remember we used to be able to go to a gym? Imagine I go to the gym. And I see someone on the elliptical, I see someone on the spin, I see somebody pushing weights, I see somebody doing burpees, and I sit back and I munch on my donut, it's not Pesach, and I say, Shomea Ka'one. I'm watching you work out. Your sweat is like my sweat. Your workout's like my workout. What you're doing, your pain is my gain. Of course it's ineffective, it's meaningless, it's a joke. It doesn't work. I watch you learn the Daf Yomi, doesn't make it I learn the Daf Yomi. I watch you daven with Kavana, doesn't mean I had Kavana. And if I watch you count this 49-day journey and process, it doesn't transform me. Yes, we say Shomea Ka'ona when it comes to other mitzvos, but we don't say Shomea Ka'ona here. Why? Because, my friends, we are on a 49-step ladder. We're climbing, 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 and watching you climb higher doesn't impact me. When we do it together, it makes it easier for me, but I have to do it. I can't fulfill it through you. When you become more patient, when you become more humble, when you become less arrogant, when you become less envious, when you have more concentration, when you're more careful with your gossip, when you're more careful what you look at, when you're more careful with what you eat, when you're more careful to make brachos, when you become better, it doesn't make me better. I have to engage this process, this act, this journey, this initiative myself. And perhaps that's why we don't say Shemaya Ka'ona. Each and every one of us have to do it. We are on a journey, 49 days. You know, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says we weren't given the Torah immediately when we came out of Egypt because we were on such a low level, the 49th level of Tumah. We were so impure, so contaminated, so distorted, so corrupt. We needed to work it out. We needed to get ourselves going. And that's what we're doing now. We are in the midst of Pesach. We celebrated the first days, the Exodus. We've left Mitzrayim. But where are you going now? You've been taken out, you've been liberated, you've been freed. What will you do with that freedom? Where are you going? Who will you become? What version of yourself will you be? What difference will you make in this world? That's what we ask for these 49 days. That's what we're counting. That's the journey that we're on. When it began, the Korban HaOmer is barley. It's animal food. The Shtei Alechem, the sacrifice of Shavuos, is made from wheat. It's bread. It takes human ingenuity, creativity, human supervision, because we go from animals to human beings. We're becoming more disciplined, more dignified. We are becoming more better people. That's what this experience, that's what this journey that we're on together is all about. The Ramban says, Pesach and Shavuos is one holiday, and Tzviras HaOmer is the Chol HaMoed that comes in between them. Pesach, we have first days and last days, Chol HaMoed. Sukkot, we have first days, last days, Chol HaMoed. But says the Ramban, Pesach and Shavuos are two bookends of one holiday with a 49-day Chol HaMoed called Sfiras HaOmer. Come on this journey together. Let's do it together. The incline doesn't look as steep when we're doing it together. Let's challenge ourselves. Let's grow, let's improve, let's climb. Let's have high intensity, knowing we'll have time and we'll be able to recover. But particularly in this environment and at this time, let us collectively bring out the best of ourselves. And in that merit, on this journey, we'll come to stand at the base of the mountain together, the best version of ourselves, on our way to reaching and exceeding and redefining our potential. We'll accept and receive that Torah and that mission to improve and to repair and to transform Hashem's world that needs it so badly. Let's, in these absolute laboratories called our homes right now, bring out the best of ourselves, inspire the best in others, and together be worthy of redemption in the future as we celebrate the redemption of the past. Chag Kasher v'Sameach, a good Moed, have a wonderful Yantif.